the cruelty of the information technology department.
Save it for the podcast.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So David's here. He's going to be on episode.
I'm so excited by this.
Vice versa.
Yes, this is great. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's cool because it's just the whole series was one of my mother's favorite series. I mean, she was a theologian.
All right.
But it was just sort of like, it's been so long since I read any of them.
Yeah.
You know, so it was nice to come back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I have very strong feelings about this book. It's like it's in my personal canon. So. Oh yeah.
I still haven't read the ones that she wrote after Swiftly Tilting Planet.
No, because I understand now they're up to 5 books because there's Time and Many Waters. I believe are the other two.
It says in the An Acceptable Time in Many Waters. It says in the about the author.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she did write a couple more.
And then the other thing that popped into my head when I was reading it this time was it made me think of Star Trek V with the whole, I need my pain. Pain is who I am. And, you know, and the individuality.
What does God need with a starship, David?
Yes, I know. Not in front of the Klingons.
That is not a good movie.
Or as fan dance. Oh my god.
Not a good. Only Star Trek movie I've ever seen one time, and I saw it. Sadly, I saw it in the movie theater on the day it came out. Although to my credit, I saw it. I brought a girl with me.
Ooh.
Which earned me the impression of the guy sitting, the respect of the guy sitting next to me who brought his reference material, all of his Star Trek reference material, with him to the theater.
You must have been a wonderful date, Jason.
So I, well, I mean, by contrast, I was like,
you were like Casanova.
I don't know. Named Johnny Awesome is who I was.
You were James Bond, basically.
Essentially, I was James Bond. How did we get here? Okay.
Sorry.
Yes. That's okay. Have to do an episode about Star Trek V, so thank you.
There you go.
Cut to
Scotty
never.
Hitting his head on a beam. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to go climb Half Dome now. I don't know how we got here.
Have we had the Ray Bradbury? We've done so many incomparables.
No Ray Bradbury yet.
Because we need to talk about Ray Bradbury since he was...
We do.
The first time I ever cried over a book, it was a Ray Bradbury book. So
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh, God, I'll end up crying on that episode of The Incomparable, too. It's terrible.
I always had that box of books that, you know, especially when I was moving around the country for a year, it was just the car box. I mean, I had boxes in my parents' garage for about 15 years beyond when I left. But I always had that box of books that traveled with me no matter where I went. And so it'd be, you know, Wrinkle in Time and C.S. Lewis and Harlan Ellison and Ray Bradbury and Robertson Davies. And I don't have a car box anymore. I have a house.
Yeah.
No.
Houses are useful for those sort of things.
To keep your books in. Absolutely.
Yes.
And then our kids will finally be, I have this old Kindle that I keep stuffed with all the books I downloaded as a child.
That's right. What with kids? Scott McNulty says that now.
Yeah. And our friends who are still childlike. I tease. Oh my God, do I tease? So
we just leave the Kindles lying around the house and the kids pick them up one by one.
Yeah, that's actually that was something I wanted to ask you about was I did more of my readings as a kid by just kind of wandering by and casually swiping my mother's books and reading things. And there were things I shouldn't have read at the time, but I think serendipitous reading is one of the best ways for kids to discover what they like without having somebody explicitly steer them towards books. And I thought, gosh, I've switched to digital reading for so many of the things that I really love. How can I engender serendipitous reading in my own house if I'm not leaving physical media laying around? So this is something I think about a lot, actually.
My feeling is always, I buy a lot of books since I got the iPhone and since the iBook store came out and since Kindle came out, I read a lot digitally. But any book that I know I will want to read more than once or that I know I will want to lend, I buy in hardcover.
Yeah.
And it's a way to basically say, okay, there are the books that I definitely want to read once, and then there are the books that I know are going to touch me for a while. Like The Night Circus was one of those where I read it through once on my iPhone's Kindle app, and then immediately after I finished reading it, I was like, okay, I have to go out and buy the hardcover right now.
Yeah, I'm mostly buying graphic novels now. But this is not the topic of this episode, so
no.
An accidental book podcast is happening now. We'll get back to it. But it's true. My kids do have lots of paper books, though. It's mostly me now that has the electronic books. But who knows how that'll change?
Yeah.
You need to do this more with us, David.
I would love to.
Agreed.
No, get back to work on writing the sequel to The Fog or something.
Oh yeah,
or actual work.
Yes.
That you get paid for. Something like that. insert spoiler. All right. Yes. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
I
feel traditionally, like the guests don't say goodbye to there, but that was great. Traditionally.
I just had the
bye now. Bye now. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Oh, that'd be great.
So, it's completely off topic. In Star Tours, the new Star Tours, they have Allison Janney as the robot.
Yes, yes, they do.
And
what? Putty, oh, too. Patrick Warburton is in there too. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh wow,
it's delightful. Well, Trixie needs to go to Disneyland at some point.
We're gonna wait until she can go under her own power because I don't want to.
Yeah. Don't be the person with the stroller. But yeah, so every time I leave a room now, or every time I hang up on a conversation, I do the bye-bye in it, the Allison Janney voice. It just comes out. It's I have no control.
She would be great for the Wrinkle in Time movie in my head, I think.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think she'd be
great. See, you can't go more than about an hour with Lisa, and there's fantasy casting happening. The title suggestions were essentially I was James Bond. That's referring to me at the Star Trek 5 screening, by the way.
Yes,
so I voted for that one. Brought to you by libraries, culturally indoctrinating my kid. Flying Horse Angel People, sign me up. That's kind of long.
I like Flying Horse Angel People.
Secretly Freaky. Yeah. Outer Spacicle, which I did say. Yes. Outer Spacicle. Pulsating Brain on the Table. Yes. Mm-hmm. Commie Brain. Mm-hmm. Scientific Kinds of Science. Honey, I'm doing science. No exposure to actual working scientists, Lisa. Talking religion with a bunch of nerds. Don't mention Jesus. And my favorite, of course, Stabbed in the Back by a Rainbow. Anyway.
I think Stabbed in the Back by a Rainbow is
pretty great.
There's some good ones there. Yeah, but that's just the one stupid cover that I have. It's not even all the other covers. Flying Horse Angel People.
Oh, sure. God, that cover is so 80s.
By the way, I should say it is. It's a 79, I think.
Yeah, it's 70, got kind of that 78 early 80s, edition. That early 80s aesthetic that goes along with reading Rainbow and 3-2-1 Contact. Mm. But yeah.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
I have a freelance piece. I got to work on that. All right. Talk to you later.
Oh, boy.
Bye.
It is late. Good night.
Yes.
Good night. Good night. Bye.